Good evening, everybody. Should have waited a week to get that third COVID shot. What an awesome week of wrestling. And we ain't done yet. Tomorrow we have TakeOver. Couple of pretty big matches lined up. But for tonight, we talk SummerSlam. I am Don Tony. It is now Sunday morning, 12:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So much for all those people that were trying to tell you that SummerSlam will be over by 10 today. We were at match two, Alexa Bliss and Eva Marie, and people are like, oh, they're gushing, they're speeding through every match. Every match tonight is going to be rushed. Oh, man. But if there was any way I could describe SummerSlam in a title tonight, didn't some people call SummerSlam tonight, you never saw it coming? I think we used that for a pay-per-view before. But for me tonight, SummerSlam's title should be the good, the bad, the ugly. I have been a uber positive wrestling fan for the last 2 years, but I criticize where needed, and I have quite a few things to say tonight about SummerSlam. I'm going to just go back and forth, and we will get into match results. I got lots of photos to share with everyone. But I think the first thing I want to start with, yes, we'll talk about Becky Lynch. Yes, we'll talk about Brock Lesnar. We'll talk about Cena. And I got to be honest with everybody out there, I'm a little annoyed that I don't want to put the Streamlabs is going to be a little off-centered because I don't have my other screen up yet. But shout out to King of Games. I'm sure it'll pop up any second. CM Punk and Brock Lesnar back. Main event was amazing. Thought the match was over. The AA off the top rope, well, the middle rope, but that still was awesome. Dayhawk 666. Oh, it is kind of like, oh, it's fine. Dayhawk 666, he wanted Nikki Cross to keep the belt. Since she got her family in Scotland, she can't almost lose. That is sarcasm. Oh, I have a lot to say about Nikki Cross tonight. Personally, I think she's a sweetheart. People that I know that are friendly with her say nothing but beautiful things about Nikki Cross. But since the night they started the superhero gimmick, she has not had one clean finish. Not one clean victory. Beat the clock. Falls count everywhere. Charlotte at ringside. Rhea at ringside. You basically got tonight what WWE truly feels about Nikki Ash. As far as her status on the food chain, not everybody needs to be a main eventer to be over. Nikki Ash is a perfect example of that. But I don't know if WWE has the balls to have Nikki Ash turn on the fans. That would be spectacular because this almost, in the year 2021, with all of this tension in the world, with all of the hate in the world, with COVID and losing it, you don't want anybody to come up to you and say, you could almost be a superhero. Do what you can. You almost. No, 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 no. If I'm back in my 20s and I want to go to a club and I want to pick up something, all right, let's wait for the New Day to get off my screen. Mark Anderson. Oh, yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. Seth Rollins versus Edge, for me, match of the night. I would have given it to Edge. I mean, John Cena versus Roman Reigns, but something that kind of like ticked me off tonight. I'll show you in a minute. But, you know, I go to a club and I'm a lot younger and I'm drinking and I'm dancing and I don't dance, but, you know, I don't want to, the next day, my friends, hey, did you have a good night at the club yesterday? I almost picked somebody up. Hey, did you go for the job interview? I almost got the job. Hey, how did those scratch-off tickets, the lottery, the numbers? I almost hit. I don't want to almost. I want to win. I want to get. You're almost. It's got to be a heel turn. It's got to be a heel turn. Every time I hear, you almost. Who? Tony Robbins and all these other inspirational people in our lifetime. You know, if you say, look, you get knocked down, it's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get up. It's not how many times you almost get up. Almost my ass. Seriously. Anyway, me talk about the first thing that I want to get into today. And trust me, we'll switch the screen. It'll be nice and neat. I got things organized. But I got a comment about this. This is Goldberg 20 years ago. More than that, 22 years ago. All right, look at Goldberg 22 years ago. Look at him today. With the exception of the beard being gray, this son of a bitch looks like he hasn't aged at all. The guy looks incredible. I don't care how good you look. I don't care how good you feel. Father Time catches up to you. He is starting to have the problem with the legs that The Undertaker had. Do you remember a couple of years ago when we talked about The Undertaker? Like when he's in the corner fighting someone, boom, 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 boom. Soul Certified just subscribed. I know it would look so much better if I had it like this. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. So I know it's a little off center right now, but Goldberg, you know, Undertaker had this problem several years ago. And we picked up on it. When he's in the corner punching someone and wailing on someone, or he goes old school and goes off the rope, the top rope with his punch, it looks great. But when he's got to do moves that require extreme leg strength, age catches up to you. You look at that shape that Goldberg is in. Do you think Goldberg is at the gym working his ass off? And then when it comes to the legs, I'm good. I'm good. It just catches up to you. And no matter how much he looks like he's been frozen in time, when you see what happened to Lashley today, when Goldberg, quote unquote, tossed him off the top rope, Lashley could have fell straight down on his head. Something like this, just that much, could be the difference of somebody getting seriously hurt. Now, there are exceptions to the rule. Remember Brock Lesnar back in the day with Kurt Angle, and he did the shooting star, wasn't it? And he landed on his head? Yeah, accidents do happen. You could slip off the rope. There could be sweat. And yes, you could kind of say maybe that's what happened with Goldberg. I don't think so. You look at that first body slam attempt that he did to Lashley, he couldn't get him up all the way. This is something they really, really, really have to take notice with. If they could have Goldberg do two more matches last year, like we talked about many times before, they have to seriously change the format. Go gaga, do whatever you want, but they really got to change that format. I am a Goldberg fan. I enjoy Goldberg's entire career, but I will even say, no matter how awesome that guy looks coming out, his type of arsenal, you can't have weaker legs. You can't. You just can't. I don't want to see anybody, not even injured. I don't want to see anybody almost get injured. You just got to, it almost fell on his head. No, 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 no. You almost fell on it. No, no. You got to do something about that. Bet you a lot of people didn't expect me to say that tonight. Yes, I try to be positive about everything because I am a wrestling fan. And I'm not going to sit here and be negative and whine and bitch about every little thing. I think that I am extremely fair with everything I say. It may not be the most popular thing. I could come up here and just be negative the whole night. And I'm sure people be like, yeah, fuck them, fuck them. But come on. This week in wrestling overall was phenomenal. CM Punk Friday night was beautiful. Becky Lynch returning today was great. Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar. Talk about transitioning from John Cena to Brock Lesnar. Man, WWE is really stacking Fox SmackDown big time. Just think about that. We thought Becky Lynch was going to be on Raw. They were pushing the storyline. Charlotte, Becky. Charlotte, Becky. I am the best on Raw. No one is better than me. Enter Becky Lynch. That was the plan. Now, as far as Sasha Banks goes, and we will talk about Becky next, As far as Sasha Banks goes, look, I am going to say the very same thing that I said in March, April, May, June, July, and early August about Keith Lee. For all those months, people were saying to me, what's up with Keith Lee? What's going on? What's this, that? And I said, look, there is issues physically, health-wise, physically, and emotionally with Keith Lee. I don't have all the facts, and I'm not going to come out and speculate that if anybody should reveal it, it should be Keith Lee and nobody else. As far as Sasha Banks goes, I personally feel it is very disrespectful for people to go out there and say, I think she has COVID. She might have COVID. She might. That's some serious shit to be thrown out there. Nobody knows officially what is up with Sasha Banks. If it is an injury, if it is something else, if it's COVID, if it's emotional, whatever it is, we don't know. And for people to assume, they learn nothing about the Keith Lee stuff. Keith Lee, remember? The real reason why Keith Lee was off Elimination Chamber, they got it wrong. Mia Yim gave Keith Lee COVID, they got it wrong. Vince McMahon has nothing for Keith Lee. That's why he's off TV, they got it wrong. We don't know what is going on with Sasha Banks. In my opinion, what happened with Becky Lynch tonight was inaudible. Sasha was supposed to take on Bianca Belair. It didn't happen. Becky Lynch tonight was inaudible. I don't know where it goes from here. If it is a minor health issue with Sasha and she returns in the very near future, we may end up having Bianca versus Sasha versus Becky. Again, stacking SmackDown big time. Really stacking SmackDown big time. If Sasha is going to be off TV for the foreseeable future. Remember when Bayley got hurt? Somebody needed to come in and replace Bayley as, I know this may not be that high in the food chain, but as the biggest female heel on SmackDown. It's not Carmella, everyone. Sasha replaced Bayley as the number one heel on SmackDown. If Sasha has to take an extended leave of absence, Bianca may need to fill that role. Now, as far as Becky Lynch making her return tonight, I do not compare crowd reactions of CM Punk, Becky Lynch, Edge. I don't compare them. It's just wrestling fans enjoying a moment, appreciating somebody who has returned that entertains us. I don't compare the levels, but it was awesome. It was awesome. Now, Becky Lynch tonight, basically for those that did not see SmackDown, Bianca was supposed to take on Sasha. It was advertised up until the pay-per-view. Now, here's where you catch people in lies. I have said for the last 2 weeks, we don't know what the deal is with Sasha, but they are still advertising it. So we got to go on the idea that the match is still happening. But we don't know. Even when I did predictions yesterday, it feels like days ago, yesterday, I said, we don't know if that match is going to go down. So we did predictions based on the idea it was going down. The thing is, though, is because on the pre-show tonight for SummerSlam, they were still advertising the match. You had some of these blue checkmark reporters saying that Sasha Banks was spotted backstage. Why did they say that? Because they saw that it was still being pushed and talked about on the pre-show tonight. So it has to be happening. Exclusive news. Pay for my website. Sasha Banks spotted backstage. The match is still on. Nobody knew if the match was on or if it was off. People were rolling the dice. Yes, it's rolling the dice, not something else. And they got it wrong again. So Soon as they announced Bianca Belair first for the match instead of Sasha, you knew something was up. So Bianca hits the ring, and that's when we find out the match with Sasha is not happening. Crowd is not happy at all. Then they announced Carmella. Now, props to most of you out there who immediately picked up on it and said, let's quote Bianca. There's no way they're going to do Carmella versus Bianca again 24 hours. So Carmella comes out there, and she looks like a deer in headlights, and the crowd is pissed off. So people expected a swerve. Some of you thought Becky Lynch was going to come out, and sure enough, she does. So I'm thinking three-way. Three-way. If Becky Lynch is going to remain on Raw as it was originally planned, then Bianca could pin Carmella today. Becky doesn't get pinned. She loses still, but then she goes to Raw. Remember, when she left, wasn't she Raw champion? So instead, Becky starts beating up Carmella before any match happens. Carmella gets tossed out of the ring, and Becky wants a match. Bianca says yes. So they have a little stare down in the ring. The crowd is eating it up. And literally 20 seconds later, does it feel like a damn audible? Does. Look, my thoughts on that, not everybody is going to like what I'm about to say. I think some will understand what I'm about to say. It ain't a black thing or a white thing. Soon as that happened tonight, I thought, oh, Kofi Kingston, Brock Lesnar. Please, I don't want to hear this is how WWE treats black champions. It's not a black or a white thing. Obviously, Sasha Banks not being able to perform, they put Becky in that match instead. Now, see, me, I have been saying on the show for months that I thought Bianca Belair's run was fine. The problem is that, you know, they kept pushing this bullying thing, And, you know, a lot of the storyline that they were putting around her was kind of dry, you know, and they put it with Carmella, they put it with Zelina Vega, they did the Reginald stuff with Sasha. It was just, a lot of it was kind of crappy. So this is what I have to say about Becky Lynch winning that championship in 25 seconds. I know this does not apply to all of you out there, but let's be honest. A majority of you out there have read on social media the last 2-3 months, Bianca Belair's run as champion sucks. It's been a failure. This is not the Bianca Belair that we had in NXT. Get that title off of her. We need a change. This sucks. This is the women's division is horrible. It's terrible. That's what people have been saying, important people. And a lot of people out there went along with it. You think I'm wrong? Just do a simple Twitter history search. About 3/4 of the most outspoken people out there have been ripping Bianca Belair as champion. So they made a change. And suddenly, all their balls are in a bunch. How could you do that to Bianca? How could you do this? That is terrible. You've been saying for 2+ months, take the title off of her. Her character sucks. Oh, you got what you wanted. You got what you wanted. Now, me, I've said this many times before. I understand how WWE operates. I don't agree with a lot of it, but I understand it. Obviously, this is going to lead into their thinking is Bianca wasn't prepared to take on Becky Lynch tonight. That's why Bianca lost. Becky Lynch unexpectedly shows up, challenges her. She wasn't prepared mentally, physically. I bet you Bianca comes out there and cuts that promo on SmackDown. I still don't like it, but that's WWE's mentality. If you're going to watch WWE, if you're going to follow the storylines, if you're going to see some of the decisions they make, you have to understand it. You have to understand. Doesn't mean we like it, but you have to understand it. This is their company. They can do whatever they want. So for me, I enjoy Bianca Belair. She is one of the top stars on SmackDown. The way WWE's used her has been quite shitty. So now you're at a crossroads with Bianca Belair. Where do you go from here? A rematch obviously has to happen. And remember, we have the draft in October. It's only about 2 months away. In October, Bianca Belair could be champion again. Becky Lynch could be on Raw as originally planned. So this just might be temporary because of Sasha Banks. Again, I'm not defending WWE. I'm not condoning it. I'm just telling you how I perceive it. So she's back. And for anyone out there that is pissed off that she lost in that amount of time, I totally understand it. And I agree. But there's too many of you out there that weren't as, you know, pissed off when Brock Lesnar beat Kofi in a few seconds after Kofi's memorable run. A lot of you out there didn't vent and weren't uber triggered when Sheamus beat Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania in a couple of seconds. Some people have lost in a matter of a few seconds. You know, if you want to go back to years ago, you know, you could go back to the Ultimate Warrior. You could go back to other wrestlers. I'm not condoning it, but I'm just saying this does happen. Title changes do happen sometimes in a matter of seconds. It's sports entertainment. Bianca Belair will be fine. But for people that are getting angry tonight, angry, I think that's a little extreme in my opinion. Let's see where it goes from here. We have no choice. What are we going to do? I'm not watching WWE anymore. I'm not going to watch SmackDown anymore. What does that do? There's so much good that we enjoy in wrestling. Rated RK Bro winning the championships. Seth Rollins and Edge tearing it up. Now we got Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar going at it. You know, there is enough out there that we should enjoy that. Not everything is going to be cake and ice cream. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I would have wanted Becky Lynch to face Bianca and wrestle her for 10 minutes and then Bianca lose. I don't know if I actually would have wanted that, because then, you know, at least the cop-out, the scapegoat is, oh, I wasn't prepared. Where does Bianca Belair's character go if she had a 10-minute match, very competitive, almost wins, almost, but then loses? What promo does she say on SmackDown Friday? Anyway, yeah, no shit, James. No, none against you. Of course the crowd, you know, there were some matches that they were not that into. Happens on every show. You could say that for any promotion out there. But let's kind of tighten this and let's get into match results, okay? So we talked about Goldberg. We talked about Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks. Let me just make one comment about John Cena versus Roman Reigns. I loved the match. I loved it. I think some people thought that I was asking a question on social media when I made this comment. But John Cena debuted a new shirt tonight. Looks a lot like Super Mario 3. This is a close-up of the logo. Now, yes, another wrestler had a similar shirt before. Ah! Oh, they're copying CM Punk! CM Punk's design yesterday seemed an awful lot like WWE's design. You know, let's be honest. That happens in wrestling. They all copied off of Super Mario. If you really think about this, and I'm not trying to piss off anybody, but if you just look at it as far as character development goes, and you think about Super Cena over the years, who better fits Super Mario, Super Cena or super punk. If you really think about it. So they're both cool shirts. But I'll tell you why I was really annoyed about this debut of this shirt today. You can't see the back of it. I didn't take a screenshot of the back. So you can't see the back of it. But the whole premise of the shirt is to celebrate his 16-time championship reign. The back of the shirt looks cool. It's got a picture of every championship win with the belt, has the date, and I think the opponent on it. And the first thing that I said when I saw that was, why are you debuting a shirt that celebrates 16 championship wins and then he wins for the 17th time tonight? You know, just think about that for a minute. You debut the shirt, and then we're supposed to have suspension of disbelief that a few minutes later, an hour later, he could become 17-time champion. If he becomes 17-time champion, why would I want to buy a shirt that celebrates 16 championship victories? I personally think they should have had the match. He loses, then you debut the shirt. Or they should have debuted this shirt weeks ago, a month ago. That's when they should have debuted it. You put it out there literally right before the match. I'm like, why would I go out and buy a shirt celebrating 16 wins if he now has 17? Hey, you write it with a Sharpie. Yeah, we could do that too, Jeff. But so that was the only thing that, you know, because me, look, as a wrestling fan, wrestling is at its best when we don't know who's going to win and we don't know who's going to lose. So when I see that, I say to myself, come on, man. You pretty much gave away the finish in a match. That's how it felt to me. But Jesus, now we got this monster back. I mean, just think about that for a minute. Think of the storyline. We talked about it a couple of months ago. Just imagine Paul Heyman torn between both. Now Paul Heyman, the storyline's going to be, what does he do? Brock Lesnar is not known for his awesome mic skills. Personally, before he left WWE many, many years ago, back when he was pushing Zach Allen down flights of stairs and everything, I thought some of Brock Lesnar's mic work was spectacular. But Brock Lesnar is not there to start cutting promos, especially back and forth with Roman Reigns. Somebody has to be a mic piece for Brock Lesnar. Now, how many of you remember? How many of you remember about 2 months ago when I said they could do something? Remember Steve Austin and Kurt Angle both trying to impress Vince McMahon? Remember that? Now, I don't expect Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar to be doing comedy skits, and I don't expect any of them to wear little tiny cowboy hats, but this could very well be just like Austin and Kurt Angle trying to impress Vince McMahon back in the day. Here, now, the storyline may be that Paul Heyman has got a little bit of a dilemma here. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. That's why, like I say, CM Punk's, you know what, out of all the news that was being thrown out there this week, there was some different things that pissed me off. The one thing that angered me the most was that when we realized that CM Punk was going to debut in AEW, you had Captain Obvious morons out there reporting news that WWE has no plans for a retaliation for CM Punk debuting in AEW. When you read the article, they're like, oh, they're not going to go, and do anything, unexpected or, make a desperate grab of this, this, and that just to counter AEW and CM Punk. That is like one of the stupidest things that you could do. WWE never wanted to do business with CM Punk at this time. And the number one breaking point was when he said the stuff that he said with The Miz. I mean, that was reported at that time. Fox wanted WWE to do some stuff with CM Punk. WWE was like, to quote Bianca Belair, maybe in the future. Look, one thing I think we could all say about CM Punk is he's older now. He's married. He was, you could tell he was very, very humbled and really emotionally appreciated the love and response he got. I don't care it was in Chicago. I do care it was in Chicago. Well, when people are like, well, it was inflated because he was in Chicago. So, no, man, wrestling fans all across the globe, you know, appreciate his return. We're wrestling fans. We want to enjoy what we see on TV. We want to enjoy. It shouldn't be this. Like I said, there are so many older fans that wish we could recreate the Attitude Era, the Monday Night Wars. There are so many younger fans out there that either were not born yet or too young to experience, you know, having 10, 15 million wrestling fans, well, 10 million, you know, watching, you know, wrestling on TV every week and just that crazy, you know, how much it blew up. If you really want to recreate that, stop bashing each other because you like this Fed or you like this Fed. You know, somebody wrote earlier, AEW 1, WWE 2. No, it's Wrestling Fans 3 and Whiny Bitches none. So, there's a lot of good that we could enjoy from this, but we definitely need to call out the negative. We definitely need to call out the negative. Now, one thing I thought was awesome today, and I don't have the side pictures, but they are floating out around on social media. I freaking loved Edge, you know, going back to his roots as being part of the Brood. I mean, the entrance today was phenomenal. I don't know if you realize this, but Allegiant Stadium, the arena, did not allow pyro. Now, if you think about it, WWE could have put pyro sound through the speakers, but it would look kind of goofy to see Goldberg doing this or Edge doing this, and you hear the explosions, but you don't see anything. So we had no pyro today. But they allowed fire, and they allowed smoke. That's why Goldberg still had a little bit of his entrance as well. They just would not allow any pyrotechnics or explosions tonight. But, you know, Edge and Seth Rollins was phenomenal. I mean, I know a lot of you out there were anticipating that match, as was I. Many of us thought that that might be the match of the night, and I'll be honest with you, for me, that was probably my favorite match of the night. But, you know, Edge, you know, still showing love to the Brood, and those sneakers that he had yesterday were pretty freaking sweet, man. Very, very cool. So, with that said, one last thing I just want to randomly bring up. You know what's funny? I thought everybody in the building was supposed to be wearing masks unless they're eating or drinking something. Isn't it funny that every time we saw this guy, whether intentionally on the screen or behind the commentator's table, this guy had no mask on for the entire night. It's pretty funny how celebrities and the privileged, you know, can get away with not wearing masks. Everybody else has to wear a mask. This guy, I spotted him in different camera angles at least 25, 30 times tonight. Never once did I see that guy wearing a mask. And honestly, I could give a shit. I don't like him. I don't care about him. He was there. Nice. Big deal. Big deal. We also tonight got the very bland split with Doudrop and Eva Marie. And it might not be an official split yet. This just might be the beginning of Doudrop kind of like giving it back to Eva Marie. So Mystery Man is like, who cares? Well, maybe you don't care, Mystery Man, but I cover the entire show. I don't cover just what you like or what you want to see. But Doudrop, you know, you kind of wish me, because Eva Marie was smacking her around those weeks, and I did not like that at all. Personally, what I would have rather have had tonight was Eva Marie try to get help from Doudrop. Doudrop screws up in some capacity, and Eva Marie goes to slap her again with 50,000 fans there, and Doudrop stops her. And you just see Eva Marie like almost insinuating that Doudrop is hurting her. Then she could have went on the mic and said what she said. The loser of this match, I'm not going to scream. I have tenants upstairs, neighbors. But to just have her nonchalantly, the loser, Eva Marie, and then walks off with Eva's robe, I just thought that was kind of bland. You got Eva Marie slapping her around for a couple of weeks. I would have been a little bit more pissed off at that. To try to pump the fans up right before the announcement that Sasha Banks was not going to compete, they had Nakamura come out there. And a lot of people were confused. A lot of people thought that he was going to have a match. Boogs, you know, doing the whole guitar thing. And McAfee. McAfee was great tonight. He had so many one-liners tonight that were awesome. My favorite one is when Edge's head, his neck snapped back during the match with Seth Rollins. He said that Edge's neck looked like a Pez dispenser. You ever have one of those Pez dispenser, the candies come out of the neck? Pat McAfee, man, talk about a gem. I mean, just phenomenal on commentary today. Just absolutely phenomenal. So, with that said, all right, we talked about a few things. Oh, we could also bring this up too. We had a comedy segment before the pay-per-view, and I'm just getting into all the non-match stuff right now. The last segment we could talk about is Miz and Morrison. Earlier today, they showed them pulling up with this giant water truck. And we knew, obviously, water was going to be involved in some capacity. But the funny thing is that you need this giant water truck to come out with the Dripstick 2000. And basically what they did was they took a 5-gallon jug they usually get from, like, Poland Spring, and they were going to come out with these contraptions, and it was going to be like a Dripstick attached to a 5-gallon water jug. So anyway, they're in the ring, and each other thinks that they had the Dripstick 2000, and neither one did. And here comes Xavier Woods. And Xavier Woods, you really can't see it here, but Xavier Woods, putting my air conditioner on, it's getting hot in here. Xavier Woods comes out dressed like Reza Ramon. If you look closely, you could see the little hair, that little clump of hair that Reza Ramon used to always have. And he's wearing a shirt that looks like the NWO, but it's the New Day Order. And he's got, if you go back to this one, he's got the Dripstick 2000. And he starts giving him a little bit of a bath. So, thought it was a little funny segment. You know, look, I mean, SmackDown's matches tonight were pretty damn good if you think about it. Raw, you know, not so much. And we could get into the match results now because, you know, early on, I could understand early on why some people were like, wow, this pay-per-view is going to fly. The problem is that they thought that the pay-per-view was going to close extremely early tonight because of the Pacquiao fight. So let's do this. The kickoff match, Big E versus Baron Corbin. Everybody and their mother thought, oh, Big E's on early, planting a seed, getting his briefcase back. So that means he's going to cash in tonight and win a championship. Didn't happen. And honestly, I'm glad it didn't happen. Because this SummerSlam overall was not one of the better SummerSlams in history. Overall, I'm not extremely pleased tonight with SummerSlam. I thought this was going to be WrestleMania quality. I've been saying it since April that I thought SummerSlam was this year's WrestleMania. Big E versus Baron Corbin early on told the story it needed to do. The 6'6" garbage bag, you know, taking on Big E. Big E ends up hitting him with the big ending, grabs his briefcase back after he pins Corbin. And your winner, Big E, defeats Baron Corbin. So now Big E has the briefcase back, and all is good once again. They need to do something with Baron Corbin because he still, if you think of storyline, he still has no money. He has no briefcase. If he just shows up on SmackDown and now, you know, they got to do something. I don't know where you go from here with this. But it certainly just seems like it's, and please, do not have Baron Corbin steal the briefcase again. I don't want this to feel like the 24/7 title that Big E has to chase him all around the arena and Baron Corbin keeps escaping. But for a kickoff match, not too bad. Couldn't complain too much. So the opening match tonight, AJ Styles and Omos defending the Raw Championship titles, the tag team titles against Randy Orton and Riddle. And this match, very quick, in my opinion. I mean, it told the story it needed to tell. Omos, great with the offense, not so great selling the defense. But one part during the match that I got a kick out of was Omos was methodically beating down on Riddle in the ring. And, you know, Orton's in the corner. And little things like this I love. Orton holding the tag rope, AJ Styles and Omos, even Riddle. Every single one of them was holding the tag rope during their match. And Omos, every time he was beating down on Riddle, he keeps turning around to Randy Orton. And at one point, you know, he looks at Randy Orton and smiles, and Randy Orton's like, hey, how you doing? You know, it was pretty funny. But give AJ Styles credit, man. That guy is, what, 44, 45 years old? And he is still hitting moves that he has no need to do in 2021. There was one part during the match where Randy Orton went for the RKO to AJ Styles, but Omos pulled AJ outside the ring. So Riddle then takes out Omos, and here's AJ Styles doing the standing moonsault into a scorpion death drop outside the ring to Riddle. And the guy, I mean, pun intended, is so freaking phenomenal still. I mean, they really work great together. Now, I know some of you out there thought that Omos and AJ Styles would split tonight. I personally think way too soon. When Omos is ready to go out on his own, then that's when you do it. And it'll happen eventually. But in the end tonight, AJ Styles tries to go for the phenomenal forearm. Randy Orton blocks it. AJ tries to do the fruit roll-up, but Randy Orton reverses it and hits the RKO. Match was very, very quick. And it was great. Crowd loved it. Randy Orton still gets an amazing pop from the fans. I mean, say what you want about, you know, still using Orton, and why would you not use the guy? You know, this proves that you keep yourself in shape. Maybe AJ Styles' matches, and I think we would all agree on this, maybe AJ Styles, if he was in AEW right now, would probably have more incredible matches against Kenny Omega or this person, that person. But one thing that WWE does, and maybe we don't like it at times, but I think this allows AJ Styles to wrestle the 45 years old. Or Randy Orton says he wants to wrestle till he's 50 years old. You know, they really hold back a lot. So AJ Styles can do a standing moonsault, will do, you know, a great move that he's known for, but they don't overdo it. I mean, that's one thing. In AEW, it is awesome to see some of the shit that Dante Martin pulls out, that Kenny Omega pulls out, that the Young Bucks pull out. And we could just go on and on and on. The only thing that you really got to think in the back of your mind is, what happens 10 years from now? And yes, I get it. We're not thinking about 10 years. We just want to enjoy it now. But at some point, you have to pull back a little bit if you want to prolong people's careers. You know, that's why some wrestlers do have some changes in their characters. I think that's one of the reasons why Matt Hardy evolved into the different characters, because he doesn't have to do crazy-ass high-flying stuff like he used to. Shout out to KD, because he's writing some really dumb shit, so he obviously wants to get name-dropped. KD is good people, but Omos is not getting released. There is absolutely no reason to release Omos. Omos, he's styling. Omos is good, man. He's never going to have a four-star match. Neither is General Aziz or Otis or someone else. But if they tell a good story in the ring, that's all that matters. So, In the end, you're new tag team champions. Randy Orton and Riddle. Awesome, man. Awesome. A lot of us wanted to see them become tag team champions. Later on in the night, we have Mario Lopez. I guess I can show it. Yeah, we have Mario Lopez. I know the picture's still there. We have Mario Lopez interviewing RK-Bro in the back. And I like that vintage Hart Foundation shirt. It is for sale in WWE Shop. What I did not see for sale yet, but I was told it will be on sale probably by tomorrow, is the John Cena shirt that I was talking about earlier. So, oh boy, yeah, I can't keep going off the screen because then it starts resetting itself. I mean, I could change that literally in just a touch of a button. There we go. Yeah, problem fixed. But Rated RK-Bro, your new tag team champions, they'll probably continue their feud with AJ Styles and Omos for a little while longer because who else is going to face them right now? Can't think of anybody. Charlie is like, told by who? Jesus Christ, Charlie, give me a break. Told by who? I have so many friends in wrestling that I don't name drop stuff, and I don't lie either. That's why 99.9% of everything you hear on these shows is true. It's true. I have no problem saying to people out there, I don't know the answer. I don't know what's going to happen to this person. I don't know what's up with this. I don't know what's up with that. I don't do that. Never did. And I don't care. I honestly don't care who's telling you this. So anyway, next match tonight. Look, as long as Alexa Bliss does anything that looks like the Firefly Funhouse or Bray Wyatt, she's going to get hit with the We Want Wyatt chance. By the way, I know this is going to screw up the pictures tonight, but wait, no. Let me see if I can pull it here. Nope, can't pull it there. There we go. Awesome sign tonight. I didn't see it too much later on. I hope they didn't confiscate that sign. There's absolutely no reason to confiscate that sign. But that was an awesome sign tonight. And you know what? Since I have it in front of me, I got to show you this too. Remember that WWE auction that they were doing with Vince McMahon? It's for the golden auctions. Remember the shirt and the money and the autograph thing? They were actually selling part of that tonight at the arena. Check it out. Vince McMahon shirt, the Vince McMahon money, and I don't know what that tag is, that little green tag, but if you wanted it, you could buy all three for $100. $100. I am not spending $100 on one confiscated fake bill. I actually have the Shane McMahon money inside, and I even have the boss fake money that was in one of the Wyatt collector's boxes. To me, that is crazy. That is crazy. I'll wait for WWE Shop to reduce that shirt down to like $27.99, and then I'll pick that up. So I figured I'd share that in case anybody wanted to check that out. So there we go. So Alexa Bliss, she hits the ring early on in the match with Eva. She does the pose in the middle of the ring, sparks the We Want Wyatt chance. We had a really dumb moment where Lily's in the corner. Eva Marie starts pie-facing Lily. And then Eva Marie takes Lily and hits Alexa Bliss. No more hocus pocus. Did you notice that? No more hocus pocus. No dirty looks. And Eva, like, spooked. You know, 2 weeks ago, I know Mish couldn't stop laughing last Monday too, because I have no problem. I'm not buying a Lily doll. Pretend this is Lily's. You know, Dewdrop. She would have the same look if she had a picture of me naked. But you know, Eva Marie does all that violent stuff to Lily today, and nothing happens. But Alexa Bliss gets pissed off. Alexa Bliss ends up defeating Eva Marie in about 3 minutes. And I laughed my ass off. And yes, I will do it for all of you tonight. A few of you DM me during that match. Well, right after the pinfall. Because Eva Marie started yelling at Doudrop. Early in the match, even though it was only 3 minutes, you heard Doudrop saying to Eva Marie, "I believe in you. I believe in you." But after Eva Marie lost, she goes to Doudrop and she says, "You ruined it. You're ruining it." So right away, everybody is like, "Oh, you got to do it in the Vince McMahon. You ruined it, damn it." So Eva Marie telling Doudrop that she ruined everything. Doudrop takes the robe. Eva Marie suddenly has no balls, doesn't want to slap her. "You loser, Eva Marie." And Doudrop walks off. Crowd didn't really give a shit, to be honest with you. I don't think the crowd, you know, they could have done so much better to tease that split. But she gets on the microphone and she does the same promo that Eva Marie does whenever they win. The crowd was like, "We want Wyatt. Honestly, we want Wyatt." Am I right? See, KD, much loves. Everybody knows I'm just kidding around. So, by the way, I put the Streamlabs alert back on the screen. So, anybody, if you are not a subscriber yet and you subscribe, you'll get a little shout-out on the screen. You become a channel member, you get a bigger shout-out. You super chat, I kiss your ass for a few minutes. Yeah, and the crowd goes mild. We're only two matches in, not including the kickoff show. And, you know, it was okay. I mean, at this point, you know, Eva Marie, that was the funny thing. Eva Marie and Alexa Bliss was 3 minutes. And people were like, "Oh, the matches are going so fast." Just the two matches at this point. We were already at 8:40 p.m. and we had just two matches. And we still finished past midnight. SummerSlam went past midnight, not including the kickoff. It was not rushed. They just gave the time to the matches that they felt people paid money for. Randy Orton, legend, you know, Randy Orton opens up a lot of pay-per-views. So the night is done a little bit earlier for him. How come nobody ever bitches and complains? Why is Randy Orton the curtain jerker? Why are they doing it? Why not? Why not? That's my opinion on it. All right, next match. What do we got here? Ha-ha. This match was better than I expected it to be. Early on, Damian Priest does a dive outside the ring and selling like he injured his hip. I don't know if he legitimately maybe got, you know, banged it a little bit, but this is what really I love about certain people that wrestle is they don't forget little parts of their storytelling in the ring. Damian Priest sold that throughout the whole match, Sheamus working on it, which was even better. Too many times you have someone that'll, you know, take a finisher to their knee or their ankle and they're acting like it's broken. And then 5 seconds later, they're running up and down the ring, doing dives off of buildings and this and that. And sometimes it's hilarious when they can't remember which leg did I hurt? And they favor the wrong leg. Priceless, man. Priceless. But this match was pretty good. Damian Priest selling the hip through the match. There was one point where Sheamus tried the bro kick, and Damian Priest turned it into a sit-out choke slam, which looked great. I will say this about tonight. I think there was only two matches that got a "This is awesome" chant. You know, for everyone that says that the crowds chant "This is awesome" for every little great thing that they see, tonight I think I only heard it in two matches. And this was not one of them. This was a great match as long as it lasted. There was a point towards the end of the match where Sheamus, you know, because he's got the mask on. So the finish in the match, the storytelling is that Damian Priest rips the mask off and he calls Sheamus a bitch. He does his spinning leg kick to Sheamus's, they said to his nose, because obviously, you know, after what happened with him, I think in Humberto Carrillo. And then the spinning kick to the head, the reckoning, and 1, 2, 3, your winner. And new United States champion, Damian Priest. A lot of you wanted to see that title change. We were talking about it yesterday. Sheamus is not 100% healed. And there was a lot of talk, you know, to give him a little bit extra time off. And Damian Priest needed this. As much as I have been enjoying his work with Miz and Morrison, that's been going on since January. And yes, in the history of wrestling, we've had many feuds that'll go 6 months. You go back many decades, storylines could go on for a year or two. This, I think, ran its course, and they needed to shift. The number one question is now, who does Damian Priest feud with next? That is the question. I just don't want him to split up Miz and Morrison. But, you know, one thing that I think we'll all agree on is that it seems like if they start getting a little lull with Damian Priest, that they'll immediately go to like another match with him versus Miz or him versus Morrison. I want to see maybe Ricochet get an opportunity. Maybe, I know Ali and Mansoor, they're trying to keep as a tag team, and now with them going to Saudi Arabia soon, they're going to focus on them remaining a tag team for now. So, I don't know, maybe you do go with Ricochet. No Reggie, please. No Reggie. And no, thank you. No, thank you. No, no, no. Marquez, I don't want Miz and Morris. Miz versus Morrison versus Damian Priest in a three-way. That could happen, though. I could picture Miz and Morrison arguing who gets a shot at Damian Priest. Maybe they'll even do like one, two, three, go. One, two, three, go. One, two, three, go. And please, we don't want Adam Cole to come out there. It'll be The Miz versus Damian Priest. Yes. Versus John Morrison. You know that could very well happen. But for now, Damian Priest, your new champion, and definitely, definitely well-deserved. Tonight, I tell you the truth. If you think about it, other than the Bianca Belair match, I think we predicted every match right yesterday. The only thing I thought was going to happen was Charlotte wins and then Becky Lynch comes out and challenges Charlotte. That's the only thing that did not happen afterwards. But this match tonight, you know, we talked about it yesterday. The whole storyline is that Father Ray is telling son Dominic, son, relax, relax. You're not thinking straight. And you're slacking, this, this, and that. So you just knew. You know, a lot of people, I say this every so often, and a lot of people don't think about it. WWE uses multiple people for the same storyline. Sometimes you don't think about it, but I'll give you a perfect example. Mansoor and Mustafa Ali. When Mustafa Ali says to Mansoor, look, watch, watch and learn. And then Mustafa Ali screws up. Same thing with Rey Mysterio and Dominic. Dominic, son, relax. Dominic's been wrestling for, what, a year? Now, after a year, son, you need to relax. They waited for live fans to do this storyline. But it's the same thing. As we said yesterday, Rey telling his son, Rey, son, you got to relax. You know, you're slipping up. Rey tonight lost. He got pinned. I do think Dominic could very well turn on Rey. It would be very interesting, but Dominic tonight, it didn't seem like he was going to turn. He came across like, I don't want to go too deep with this, but it came across like, you know, how many of us, when we were in our late teens or early 20s, and your father's trying to give you advice for every little thing, and you're just like rolling your eyes like, yeah, dad, all right, all right. You know, but obviously in this storyline, you know, he can't just sit there like, all right, pops, okay, pops. No, you get to punch him in the mouth. So does Dominic actually get physical with his dad, or does Dominic just walk out on him? Son, where are you going? And then Ray with the tears. But it didn't happen tonight. It didn't happen tonight. early on, they were in sync. Dominic with a beautiful springboard outside the ring onto both members of the Usos. Rey doing a beautiful baseball slide outside the ring onto the Usos. Dominic doing the Three Amigos, loud Eddie chant. But in the end, the Usos regain control. And yes, pun intended, they dominated. In fact, Dom's got to come up with a move and call it the Dominator. But they dominated Dom. Hot tag to Rey Mysterio. But what ends up happening is Dominic is outside the ring, gets laid out a little bit. People laughing at that. Rey attempts the frog splash, but Jimmy Uso gets the knees up. And then we get a double super kick to Rey. Jey Uso with the splash onto Rey Mysterio. 1, 2, 3. And they lose. And the Usos, they have the camera focused only on the Usos. And everybody's like, no, put it back on the Mysterios. We want to see the heel turn. No, they just fade to black. So you're like, not getting it tonight. Yeah, I was writing it earlier, Austin, and I was like, I didn't even think of it. Like I said, they dominated Dom. And I'm like, oh, Dom. Dominated Dom. So your winners, and still WWE Tag Team Champions, well, SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos. Let's see what happens Friday on SmackDown with the Mysterios. Who is the new tag team that is going to go after the Usos next? Think about it. You know, I don't want to see the Mysterios still continuing this feud unless they're going to go ahead with that turn. So it could happen. Could happen. But right now, all is still good for the tribal chief and his family. All right. We already talked about it. We thought we were getting at this point Bianca Belair versus Sasha. Didn't happen. Fans were pissed. Don't want to speculate why Sasha is out. I'm sure we will hear something sooner than later. I'm a little concerned when Bianca says, one day, Sasha, you and I will go. That doesn't sound like the immediate future. And guess what? If Sasha, whatever the issue is temporary, they may be forced now to wait a little while because of Becky returning. But they obviously did the audible, and they had first Carmella to come out there. That was kind of a troll. They trolled the fans thinking that they were going to get Carmella versus Bianca instead. And nothing against Carmella, but talk about going from this level of a feud down to that. So Becky Lynch comes out, incredible pop from the crowd. You could see, just like with CM Punk, very, very humbled. You could see it in the eyes, really appreciated it. And she wants a match with Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair agrees. And next thing we know, we get a handshake, a punch, and a manhandle slam for the 1, 2, 3, and you're new SmackDown Women's Champion, Becky Lynch. Please do not be mad at Becky Lynch. Again, I'm not going there. You know, it's not about white, black, this, this, and that, but this is a WWE decision. You know, if you're happy that Becky Lynch is back, you know, just it's not a Charlotte situation that, oh, Charlotte returns and she's thrown right back in the championship picture. Did you hear Las Vegas tonight? They were actually behind Charlotte. So this is not the same case. This is WWE's decision. And, you know, let's also look at it like this. Yes, it is definitely unfair to Belair. I just stepped in that one. Unfair to Belair. It is unfair to Bianca. But she's not crushed by this. She'll be fine. Let's see where the character goes from here. And I just realized it. Are we going to get Street Profits versus the Usos? Just thought of that. But look, as much as you may not have liked the fact that she beat Bianca in a few seconds, remember the caliber of the talent that is back. She was the number one woman in WWE. The man. This isn't the mid-carder. This isn't someone getting favoritism. Yeah, you might feel like, okay, well, they wouldn't have given the belt to anyone else, possibly. But we're talking about one of the top major women in WWE. And remember this. As unfair it is to Belair, Becky Lynch was champion last year. She had to give up that championship because she was pregnant, went home to start a family. So think about what happened. And I'm not saying the pregnancy was a negative thing or anything like that, but she was champion last year. So look, this is the way WWE did it. I think to myself, I don't know, like I said before, I don't know if I would have wanted a 10-minute match between the two. Because it almost feels like, for WWE standards, I'd rather have Bianca come out on Friday in a promo and say, this was not fair to me. I wasn't prepared for Becky Lynch, and I deserve a rematch, and I did this and that. Like, if she said the same promo after losing 10, 15 minutes, it's different. You know, if you get blindsided and you're not ready for it, that kind of protects her a little bit more. Storyline-wise, it sucks. Me, I would have rather seen a competitive match. As a wrestling fan, I would have rather seen them two kick the shit out of each other for 10 minutes. But for WWE and their writing, let's see where it goes from here. Doesn't mean it was good. Let's see where it goes from here. Next. Oh, by the way, we had a funny moment. Tiffany Haddish talking about Damian Priest winning the national championship. The national championship. Look, you know, I don't know if Tiffany Haddish is a wrestling fan or not, but that's what you get when you have guest people that don't follow wrestling. You know, yeah, we could kind of like joke even further. Like, you had one thing to say. One thing. These people could do movies and they can remember thousands of lines. You had one thing to get right. The national championship. Jinder Mahal taking on Drew McIntyre. You had Veer and Shanky barred from ringside. Man, I said this a couple of times. You know, Drew McIntyre is close friends with Jinder Mahal, just as Drew is very close friends with Sheamus. And back in January, February, we had some awesome matches between Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. In fact, one of those matches I still say is a top 10 match. It was on Raw. I think people forgot how awesome that match was. And you just know from history that when you get the opportunity to work with some of your closest friends, you know, just be clicks and you just subconsciously just want to do that much more. This match, although was not intended to be one of the upper card matches tonight, it did not deliver. Very, very lame. 2 minutes, Claymore kick, gone. You have Veer and Shanky get back to the ring and they all run away when they see the sword. It's like Yokozuna when he sees snakes, God rest his soul. That's what it looked like. Remember when Yokozuna would see a snake? That fucking 900-pound mammoth of a man would run faster than me or any of you out there. They just, I don't know. I was just, this was like a piss break match. I don't know why they cut it so short. I mean, look, the pay-per-view ended past midnight, but did we need, seriously, although I liked the segment, you know, I would have rather seen a couple of more minutes of this than have Nakamura. Fuck Rick Boogs, man. Seriously. Fuck Rick Boogs. I think we're going to see a little announcement. Omar Salgado. Welcome to the family, my friend. Much love. You get a lily laugh. You get a lily laugh tonight, my friend. By the way, for everybody who was kind enough to send some super chats in, I will get into, I might have gotten into all of them already, but I will double check it just in case I didn't. But let's run down these matches a little bit further. We're already an hour and 15 minutes. So this pay-per-view was not, it's not deserving of a two-hour recap. Let's put it that way. I think we all agree on that. But this match, very, very lackluster. Very lackluster. This match started kind of blah early on, but they really turned it up later. Nikki Ash versus Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley. Especially with Becky Lynch now staying on SmackDown till at least the draft. I don't know where you go from here unless you're going to bring someone from NXT up. I don't know if I want to see Asuka feud with Charlotte again. I certainly don't want to see Nikki Ash feud with Charlotte unless Nikki Ash turns, which could happen. Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte, I don't want to see. Preston D, welcome, my friend. Welcome. I don't know. I don't know where you go from here. But this match, you know, was pretty good. Nikki Ash is just not over anywhere near as much as WWE expected it to. Now, look, again, separate the character from the person. I saw that video of Nikki Ash in the empty building earlier today, and she was sobbing because she never thought that she would be in the position that was that she was in. Now, yes, she lost, and yes, you know, the character almost got over, but that doesn't take away from Nikki Cross, Nikki Ash, the person. We're not talking about, it's nothing personal. We're just talking about what we watch on TV. And we picked up on that a couple of months ago. I remember Mish and I, 1 week after the superhero character debuted, I remember saying, let's see a couple of months from now. If WWE truly thinks that Nikki Cross can be a main eventer, or if it's just smoke and mirrors. How many times I say smoke and mirrors? Smoke and mirrors. In every match she had, any victory she had, there was always some special circumstance. I mean, that just tells you that WWE did never looked at Nikki Ash and said, champion, main eventer, leader of the women's division. If that was the case, she would have pinned Charlotte clean, Rhea Ripley clean, and others clean. They didn't even give her squash matches to beat other people. Every match that she won, there was a special circumstance surrounding it. And I know that sounds a little bit cruel, but those are just the facts. Look them up. So tonight, in front of 50,000 fans, they had the opportunity that Nikki Ash could have defeated them. But instead, and there was a couple of moves that were great. There was one scary move. Charlotte is obviously incredible. Rhea Ripley at one point, her and Nikki Ash were going to suplex Charlotte. She reversed it into a double DDT. Looked great on TV. Nevada crowd, Las Vegas, was so into Charlotte. Charlotte does a corkscrew moonsault to the outside. And Nikki Ash, it looked like for a second that she banged the back of her head into the barricade. But she immediately jumped up and went into the ring. So thank God she was okay. But in the end, Charlotte with the figure eight, she had it on Rhea Ripley early on. And Nikki broke it up. Then she had the upper hand on Nikki. Rhea broke it up. But then towards the end, Charlotte with the figure eight on Nikki Ash once again. Nikki Ash trying to get to the ropes. If we could be an asshole for a minute, Nikki almost grabbed the ropes. She almost grabbed the ropes for the clean break. But she didn't. There is your new champion. I always got to look the other way. There is your new champion. Charlotte Flair. What is this, 12 times now? 12 times women's champion. So, let's see where it goes. Me personally, I want to see WWE have Nikki Ash turn on the fans. I know that sounds cruel and terrible. Little kids need to look up to, but you know, I just, that almost thing is just, that's awful. Seriously. People want people who are not almost. If she turns, she say, all of you are almost a superhero, but I am a superhero. Let it go to her head. I think she could get some big time heat off of it. So Sam says there's no rope break in a three-way. Well, then how come the commentators, when she was trying to grab the ropes, how come the commentators never said that? We've seen goofy things happen with referees before. Remember that. But good observation, seriously. For me, and I know it's technical because I mentioned the shirt, but for me, this was the match of the night for me. Seth Rollins, I know, gets under a lot of people's skin, but that guy does his job and he does it well. And this storyline that they did with Seth Rollins and Edge, where, you know, they stepped in shit because 2014, at that time, they were not planting seeds that one day these two will feud and we could go back to 2014. No, at that time, they were trying to get him, Seth Rollins, over as a major chicken shit heel with, I think, J&J Security or the Authority, whatever it was. But the storyline made sense. Seth Rollins has a curb stomp, smashing someone's head into the mat. He had it then. And the idea that Edge returned from major neck issues, Seth Rollins, his finisher, could fuck up somebody's neck. Sorry for cursing. If you notice, I've been really trying to tone that down. But they clicked today. They gelled. I want to see more. These two guys, see, this is a thing about tonight, man. Something was off about SummerSlam. And it wasn't time. I mean, I know I heard that the internet was down in the building, so they couldn't, like, do some vending. I think somebody said the bathrooms weren't working. So I can understand the crowd, you know, getting a little antsy, like, I got to go to the bathroom. I got to go to the bathroom. You know, I could see people, I want a beer, please, a beer, pretzel, something. I even heard they gave some food away. By the way, I know this is totally unrelated tonight, but you just knew when they were giving away those free ice creams on Friday, CM Punk giving away the free ice creams to all the fans, you knew that some of those rappers were going to show up on eBay. But what I did not expect, and there is some footage online floating around, there was one guy, and there was more than one person was doing it, but there was one guy that was going into multiple garbage cans trying to grab as many rappers as he can get, and you know why, to throw them all on eBay. And this guy was just almost dumpster diving. I mean, literally, talk about germs and COVID. I mean, I understand, wow, I might get $50 a pop for rappers. Let me get as many as I can. But, man, I mean, I'm sure not everybody carries a pair of plastic gloves in their back pocket. But me, like, I don't have any shopping bags nearby. Do I have any shopping bags? I don't. But you know, I don't know if any of you ever did this before. You take a shopping bag, you put your hand inside the shopping bag, and then you grab whatever you want to grab, and then you turn the shopping bag inside out, and your hands never touch the garbage. They weren't even doing that. Crazy, man. But anyway, getting back to tonight. Edge, as I showed you earlier, they did a lot of the entrance for the Brood. I mean, WWE knew early this week. They knew last week that they couldn't do pyro. So I think this is part of the reason why they brought back the Brood entrance, because they were allowed to use fire and they were allowed to use smoke, but they were not allowed to use explosives, pyrotechnics. So I think that's why we got that little segment with the Brood yesterday on SmackDown. And it worked. I mean, even though, like we said yesterday, Seth Rollins looked like a chocolate bar. He looked like one of those Easter egg chocolate bunnies. That wasn't blood color, but it was fine. It did what it needed to do. But they did the pot brewed entrance. And like I said, there's some really cool photos from the side of it, but they were wheeling it in right before his entrance. But Seth Rollins, man. KD, shout out to you, my friend. He doesn't agree with my comments, but dude, my New York brother from a former Bronx boy, now Florida brother, all love. If I do a belch or a Vince voice, all is good. I won't belch on the show, but you telling me to do a belch? Shut up! What do I also do? You're fired! That good enough? I was sick a week and a half ago. And I got the COVID shot 48 hours ago. So, still feeling a little bit rough. So, but thank you, my friend. I will thank you again in a couple of moments. But Seth Rollins, whether you like him, don't like him, despise him, there's no denying the guy has adapted to WWE as good as anyone else. The guy just knows how to get under everyone's skin. He's smooth on the mic. He's smooth in the ring. He's got great facial reactions when he gets his ass kicked. He tells a great story. And the best thing about Seth Rollins is he could lose and lose and lose and lose and lose and loses no credibility and loses no status whatsoever. Remember, a year or so ago, we had him ripping out Rey Mysterio's eyeball. And they did that whole thing with Murphy and everything else, which kind of flopped, let's be honest. Rollins was excellent today. And Edge, my God, I said it yesterday. If anybody didn't see my show last night, it was so unfair to compare CM Punk's promo to Edge's promo because it's two different reasons, two different levels. It's just two different scenarios. But man, people were telling me last night, if you had to choose one, which promo would you want? I can't answer that. CM Punk knocked it out of the park. And Edge, that evil look on his face, seriously. Like, it just, he looks exactly, like, everything just comes across how he looks. Like, it feels like he really wants to destroy Seth Rollins. I thought it was really cool during the match. He actually tried to do, in fact, he did. He did his wife, Beth Phoenix's finisher. But like I said, Pat McAfee all night long, phenomenal in commentary. When Seth Rollins was working on Edge's neck and Edge snapped back and him saying it was like a Pez dispenser. But I might be wrong, but I think Seth Rollins versus Edge tonight, I think that match was the first match that got the This Is Awesome chant, because it really was. I mean, we had points where we had a spinning neck breaker by Edge off the top rope. I mean, worthy of a holy shit chant, because you wouldn't have expected that. We had a superplex into a Falcon Arrow by Seth Rollins, only for a two. We had an attempted curb stomp by Seth Rollins into an attempted pedigree, and then Edge, that's a little shout-out tribute to his wife. He does the glam slam for a two count. Edge with the spear outside the ring. He tries to then spear Rollins inside the ring, but Rollins turns into a pedigree. A lot of two counts, and I'll tell you one thing that I noticed tonight that might have been more than I have seen in a very long time. And there were a lot of two counts tonight that just came off incredible on TV. I mean, over the years, being a wrestling fan, you've heard various commentators say 2 7/8. Like, it's just, I mean, 1 2, and somebody would kick out. Seth Rollins did it beautifully tonight. Edge did it beautifully tonight. Roman Reigns and John Cena did it amazing tonight. I mean, those two counts. I mean, I don't think you could come any closer. I mean, it almost gets to the point where you start getting nervous. You think the referee is going to screw up. I mean, they just killed it today. The two counts, I don't know if anybody else knows, and now I'm seeing some people in the chat saying that they noticed that too. Those two counts tonight, especially in those two matches, were fabulous. Fabulous. But now we're getting this is awesome chance, and now Edge goes old school. Whips out the Educator. And it was funny because Pat McAfee's like, Educator, Edulution. He's like, I don't even know what to call it. And even when Pat McAfee is not familiar with some of the older moves, he still sounds good at what he does. So Edge with the Educator. Rollins doesn't give. Edge with the Crippler Crossface, which we've seen him do. He did it with Randy Orton. Rollins, great storyline, pulls Edge's hands apart. So what does Edge do? He starts bashing Rollins' head into the mat. And Rollins is now just about done. Edge with the cross-face sleeper. Say that fast 10 times. And your winner. And very deserving. Like I said yesterday, Rollins did not need to win this match. Edge definitely deserved the win tonight. Excellent, excellent match. I want to see more. I want to see more with those two guys. Loved it. Loved it. Who's the troll? Who's the troll? I got to take care of business. I'm looking. Sorry for my audio-only friends out there. Who's the troll that we have to get rid of? KD's not a troll. Come on, chat. You guys go fast. Rapido. We don't want anyone else waiting. Who do we got to get rid of? I don't think we have to get rid of anything. Yeah, I don't think anybody's trolling. All right. Sorry, everyone. False alarm. So, Edge. And look, if anybody out there annoys you, you know, just mute them. You can mute them. You don't have to see their stuff. So, anyway, Edge is your winner. And I hope this feud continues. Because Edge, where's he go from here? Think about that. Where's he go? Is he going to go up against Nakamura? No. Let him go with Rollins into October. By the way, they announced tonight. How many fans did they announce tonight? They announced 51,326. They also announced tonight that July 4th weekend of next year, the Money in the Bank pay-per-view will be going back to Las Vegas. So they're going to have 50,000 plus fans there next year too. That's why, man, tonight is not about AEW versus WWE. Like I said early in the show, you know, enjoy both. If you want it to be as big as what it used to be, back in the 90s, there would be some fun, you know, bragging rights back and forth. But everybody just enjoyed what was going on. Stop calling people morons simply because they sing Judas. Stop calling people trash because they like NXT or like Raw or like SmackDown. You know, just enjoy it. But they announced next year for Money in the Bank, they're going to be coming back to Las Vegas, and which I don't think is a bad thing. The video game, 2K22, it has now been postponed. Instead of an October release, they're doing a March release. That's right before WrestleMania. I think that's logical. You know, we're not out of COVID, and I understand, you know, oh, well, COVID, you know, people are home still and they could be playing video games. I get it. But, you know, they rushed out some video games in recent years, that Battlegrounds one. Man, I was so pumped up to get that game. Thank God I didn't buy it right away because people were posting those videos. I mean, like, oh, this is garbage. You know, let them get it right. Why bang it out in October? And then if they have some big flaws, you know, do it in March. There's no rush. And hopefully in March, we don't get a whole bunch of screw-ups. So, but the graphics look awesome. The AEW game is coming along great, too. No need to rush either game. When you got it right and it's ready to launch, that's when you do it. I will say this. I'm a little surprised that some asses were not fired with some of those WWE releases, with those games. I don't understand how people in that type of field as far as the technology goes, how they didn't, you know, like go through all these tests and not realize all of those flaws. How does that all get through? That just baffles me. But they announced that tonight too, March release for 2K22. The next match, not much I want to add to this. I said what I said earlier. I am a Goldberg fan, always was. I let go what happened with him and Undertaker in Saudi Arabia because he got knocked for a loop. Okay. What I saw tonight with Bobby Lashley. What's up, Nate? Much love, my friend, to you as well. Thank you for the super chat. Big shout out to you, my friend. I got bad vibes. I don't care how awesome he looks. I showed you the pictures earlier. Him now compared to 22, 23 years ago, he looks the same. Other than a little gray in the beard. Doesn't matter. Soon as that match started today, he got some boos, obviously, because a lot of people fear what happened with The Fiend. I truly believe that WWE hurt Goldberg's popularity tremendously because of that win over The Fiend. If that win never took place, I think WWE fans would embrace Goldberg that much more. Because once that win went down, everybody has this little doubt in their mind that Goldberg could win the belt again. Now, I said it with the Drew McIntyre feud. Don't worry about it. WWE, I'm pretty sure, learned from their mistake with The Fiend. Drew's going to go out on top, as will Lashley. I was never in doubt tonight of the outcome. But you could tell fans out there were not having it. And here's a good example of it. When Goldberg got introduced, there was a lot of Goldberg chant, and he got a decent applause from the crowd. Once the match started, and Goldberg kind of flubbed that body slam a little bit, looked a little messy, the dive that he did to Bobby Lashley, that looked okay. Then he did an attempted suplex, which Bobby Lashley blocked. And then Lashley tried to hit a suplex, and Goldberg is trying to put his leg like between Lashley to block it too, and it looks sloppy as hell. And then it looked like something happened. I don't know if Goldberg legitimately having any leg injury. I don't believe so. I think that was all storytelling. This was a way to get Goldberg a loss without being pinned. That Lashley just beats him so bad, or something happens that the ref is forced to call for the bell. That's what it seemed like. But if you look early on in the match, when Lashley took down Goldberg face first, if you look right before that, it looked like Goldberg's leg buckled a little bit. Again, might be totally unrelated. It was just a little observation that I saw. But now the fans are not feeling this that much at all. So Lashley climbs the top rope, and Goldberg, because Lashley does the flip. Goldberg has got to push off Lashley for a little bit of momentum, and it just looked like his legs didn't help him push off, and Lashley came a lot closer than you think of landing on his head. It looked scary. Then Goldberg sets up for the spear, and now people are like, fuck, this guy could possibly win the belt. So when MVP pulled Bobby Lashley outside the ring, the crowd erupted in MVP chants. That's when you realized that the fans were not so much into Lashley, because Lashley got booed like hell at the end. Once the match was over and Lashley was doing what he was doing with the chair, the fans were booing it. It's just they popped when MVP stopped the chance of Goldberg winning. They were against Goldberg winning more than they were for Lashley retaining, if you could understand what that means. So Goldberg hits a spear outside the ring. but Goldberg's leg looks like there's something wrong. MVP whacks Goldberg with a cane when Goldberg is in the ring. And if you look, there was a delayed response by Goldberg. Sure, you hit someone, but, you know, I don't know. It just did not click. It didn't look good at all. So now Bobby Lashley hits Goldberg with a chop block. Loud cheers from the fans. Bobby Lashley outside the ring picks up Goldberg twice and bashes him with his side against the ring post. Crowd loves it. Goldberg selling the knee, trying to get up, can't get up. Referee calls for the bell. I think people out there would have rather seen Lashley pin Goldberg, but a win is a win. So then after the match is over, Lashley keeps bashing Goldberg with a chair. And, yeah, I was communicating with a bunch of you online, not on Manhattan Island, by the way, but somewhere else. And at that point, a lot of us thought that Big E was going to come out, which really wouldn't have made sense. Like, why would Big E come out to stop the Goldberg beatdown? Like, if somebody laid out Lashley, then you could see Big E coming in trying to cash in the briefcase. But Goldberg is down, and Lashley keeps hitting him with the chair, and here comes 15-year-old Gage. Now, give WWE credit, because they did it in a way that made sense. When Gage jumped on the back of Bobby Lashley, Bobby Lashley, storyline-wise, had no idea who jumped him. So Bobby Lashley immediately puts Gage in a hurt lock and then throws him down. MVP, before anybody could get triggered that he just did the hurt lock on a 15-year-old, MVP is like, look, everybody, Bobby Lashley was attacked from behind. He had no idea that it was 15-year-old Gage or it was Goldberg's son. Otherwise, yeah. But still, you're champion. So they cover their asses with that. But I don't know, man. I'm not going to find fault with Gage. He's a 15-year-old kid. You know, but even when Goldberg is consoling him and you're like, you're dead, Lashley. I'm like, no, you're not. Like, they're not going to continue. They better not continue Lashley versus Goldberg in Saudi Arabia. I hope they don't do that. They better not do that. But Goldberg is consoling Gage. Gage had the look on his face like he just woke up. Did you see that? I'm not criticizing him because he's a kid. But, you know, I'm telling you, if I got choked out or submitted by the Hurt Lock, I'd be holding my neck, my neck, my back, my, and my crack. It's a rap song. No, but I would have been like selling like, no, he's just there like, I can't use a guy. He looked like he just woke up. Son, got to get up for work. I know, Dad. Am I wrong? He looked like he was getting up. Oh, yeah. SummerSlam shirt. Damn it. If I didn't have such saggy tits, I'd rip the shirt off. Because in the end, I was not very thrilled with this pay-per-view. Could have been so much better. Could have been so much better. But, no, I don't want to see Gage versus Lashley. As much as I'm not feeling Goldberg in the ring anymore, I don't want to see a 15-year-old in any storyline, seriously. Thank God they didn't have Gage get revenge on MVP tonight. They didn't do that. Crowd didn't even really react much to Lashley putting Gage in the hurt lock. So, anyway, your winner and still champion, the almighty Bobby Lashley. So now, where do we go here with the WWE Championship? Don't know. I don't know. Goldberg got two matches already this year. So are they going to use up one from next year with a rematch or Saudi Arabia? I don't know. He's only, as we said, for the last year and a half, he only had, I think we said last year, he had 1 or 2 years left, 2 matches a year. I don't know why that suddenly became news. And no, I'm not telling you, what's his name? Conway? Whatever the guy in the chat, I'm not telling you who told me that. Charlie, that's his name. So, Bobby Lashley retains. All is good with the WWE Championship. No fears, no fears. Your main event. Not much to add from what we said earlier. Roman Reigns versus John Cena. I apologize, didn't take my allergy medicine tonight. You see me doing this, I don't do coke. Roman Reigns versus John Cena. I mean, some people who have not seen John Cena shirtless in a while thought that he trimmed down a little bit. He's been a little bit smaller for quite some time. But, you know, hair a little bit thicker. Funny when his hair was messed up. I mean, his hair, but I think his wife was in attendance because I think he blew a kiss to her at some point. Maybe he had relatives there, I don't know. But this match, although, yes, Roman Reigns got put through a table, but the announcer's table. But I will tell you, their match tonight was as old school as it could get. It told a fabulous story. Roman Reigns, cocky, confident, methodical. Early on, beating down John. You knew the format of the match. Roman Reigns was going to beat down John Cena early. Very, very cocky. Cena may get one or two opportunities for the quick roll-up for the 1-2-3. Because remember, at any point, if Roman Reigns is vulnerable, 1-2-3. Distracted, 1-2-3. And that's what the story was. Roman Reigns early on. Cocky, talking into the camera, as if Hollywood is an actual person, like somebody on the opposite side. Hey, Hollywood, you know, you could take him, this and that. I'm WWE. I don't know who he was talking to, because Hollywood is not a real person. But Roman Reigns was fabulous. Fabulous. I mean, he would hit moves every time John Cena would start getting a little offense. Roman Reigns would counter. Beautiful looking DDT at one point. But again, I will say what I said earlier. Those two counts, you can't do any better. You can't do any better. You know, and what was great about it is they didn't do moves that in any other match, it should be a three count and that's it. You know, like, the two counts were believable. You know what I mean? Cena was kicking out. Roman Reigns was kicking out. But early in the match, Roman Reigns... See, that's one thing that we kind of miss from Thunderdome in the early days of COVID. Remember that match that he had with Jimmy Uso? No, Jey Uso in the cage? And you remember, there was no live fans. There was no Thunderdome noise. There was no, you know... piped in noise, and every word that Roman Reigns would say, you would hear it clear on TV. And that was one of the most enjoyable matches that everybody liked at that time. Obviously, it's different now with live fans in attendance, but having the mic active and him taunting Cena, taunting Hollywood, you know, talking about how great he is and just putting down John Cena, it worked beautifully. Sure enough, Cena would get the upper hand. Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell. That's what the match was. Thank you, C-Med. But John Cena would get the upper hand. But early on, it felt like every time John Cena started a little offense, Roman Reigns had an answer to it. But towards the end of the match, they start brawling outside the ring. John Cena putting Roman Reigns through the announcer's table. And, you know, look, see, I don't have any problem with commentators rooting for someone. But when I hear Michael Cole, you know, get him in the ring, John. Get him in the ring, John. Go for it, John. I don't know. I don't know. But John Cena, you know, telling the story. He puts Roman Reigns through the announcer's table, and he's got the look on his face. He's like, oh, shit, I got to get him back in the ring. Vulture likes what Cole did. See, I understand the favoritism. I don't know. I don't know. For me, I just, I don't know. For some reason tonight, like, the visual tells the story. Like, we don't hear Michael, we don't need Michael Cole to tell us. Because think about it. You know, we talked about it with Randy Orton RKOing Riddle 2 weeks ago. You know, Mish and I talked about it on that Monday. When Randy Orton RKO'd Riddle, think about this. In all of the years that Randy Orton RKO'd someone, when did an announcer ever find it cute? You know, you know, think about that. Whenever it was, you're like, Randy, how could you do that? You know, like, what did he do? When he RKO'd Riddle, you had the Raw commentators, and Mish even called out Corey Graves for not, like, trying to, like, bring it balanced. They say it's almost like they're like, ha-ha, it's an initiation. Oh, he just cares about Riddle. You know, like, they were laughing it off. Like, why shouldn't RKO ever be laughed at? Like, oh, this is RKO. Sometimes the commentators don't need to, but they had to do it, obviously, for the reasons. But so Cena brings him back in the ring, and Cena doing everything he can to pin Roman Reigns, but Roman Reigns is kicking out of everything. And, you know, when Cena went off the top rope, crowd is chanting, this is awesome. And it truly was. They didn't have to do crazy-ass shit, and the crowd loved it because it told a fabulous story. But in the end, Roman Reigns, you know, hits the spear on John Cena and gets the win. Superman punch on Cena. And the first Superman punch, it didn't look like it connected all that much. But then the second time, he got him and he defeated Cena. And literally, before we could take it in and before Cena could get up, like years passed, how many times over the years when Cena would lose, he would get up, look a little dejected, look around the crowd, and then the crowd would start clapping and everything. And then Cena would cut a promo. Then the next night is like, sometimes you lose. So, you know, they didn't even give that chance. Roman Reigns won. And before there's any celebration, fucking Brock Lesnar's music hits. And everybody is going nuts. I mean, you look at this pay-per-view overall. I'm going to bring up the picture once again. Where is it? Where is it? Hang on. I got it right here. Because it's worth showing one more time. There we go. I found it. But before I even do that, let's make it official. Your winner and still Universal Champion. Oh, well. Do I have it here? I think I do have it here. No, I don't. Looks okay. I wanted to post a picture, you know, of Roman Reigns retaining, but it's all good. Brock Lesnar comes out. Now, we saw Brock Lesnar recently cutting meat on YouTube. So we already knew Brock Lesnar had the ponytail. Brock Lesnar had the beard. Brock Lesnar looking better than ever. The only question was, if Brock Lesnar makes a return, does he still look like he did cutting meat? Or were they going to make him cut the hair, trim the beard? No. Brock Lesnar shows up. The look on Paul Heyman's face, priceless. Priceless. Brock Lesnar, the crowd is holy shit, losing their shit, everybody online going nuts. And it's at that very moment, as bad as Bianca's match losing tonight was, as bad as some of the other matches were and some of the stuff we get on Raw and other things, it was like the exclamation point of what I wrote yesterday, what I wrote earlier today, what I said earlier this week, what I said 3 weeks ago. The last 4.5 months of 2021, remember when I said this almost a month ago? The last 5 months of 2021 is going to be one of the most memorable time periods ever being a wrestling fan, ever. I said it multiple times on the show. And just look, in literally 24 hours, it feels like almost 4 or 5 days ago, in 24 hours, CM Punk returned, Becky Lynch returned, Brock Lesnar returned. It's unfortunate with Sasha Banks right now. She just returned. Daniel Bryan is going to debut for AEW soon. We have Malakai Black, although he hasn't done that much in AEW yet, has returned. You have Ruby Riott on the horizon that is going to kick ass. We have the NWA with their women's pay-per-view coming up. That is going to be awesome. There's some solid matches lined up. I mean, how does it get better? This year, this time period, enjoy it, man. Don't waste your time on social media bitching and complaining about every little thing. Because wrestling, even during the Attitude Era, there was hokey shit on both sides. You know, when the Monday Night Wars were going on, it's not like everybody woke up one day and suddenly WCW sucked. It was a steady decline, but there was still a lot that everybody enjoyed. So Brock Lesnar showing up tonight, little stare down in the ring. I know we all wanted to see him F5 Roman Reigns. But Roman Reigns leaves the ring, backtracks. Paul Heyman looks like, I don't know. I mean, it's almost like, you know, someone who's dating someone and then their ex shows up and then, you know, he starts to. It's going to be really interesting to see where this goes. But, man, what a way to end SummerSlam. For a four-hour pay-per-view, you know, it had its good moments. Like I said at the beginning of this show, I want to make this clear, and I said this earlier today. I always try to look at the positive stuff with wrestling because it's never going to be 100% perfect. You're not going to satisfy everybody 100% of the time. And I try to look forward, and I'm not one to just bash, you know, tweet, you know, heart, negative. I'd rather focus on the good stuff. But tonight, as I said at the beginning of the show, you had the good, the bad, and the ugly. And some of the things tonight that were good were very good, were excellent. Edge versus Seth Rollins, my favorite match of the night. I know it sounds a little bit ridiculous, but if Cena would not have come out with that shirt, I probably would have chose that match as the match of the night. But like I said, you just look at it business-wise. You don't create an awesome-looking shirt celebrating 16 championship wins half hour before he becomes championship number 17. It just doesn't make sense. It's stupid. You know, you have a card. I'll use any other sport you want as an example. Somebody breaks a record, and you have the card that reflects somebody's record being broken. That card has a lot of value to it. Until someone else breaks that record. Now it's no longer the record. So now its value drops down tremendously. So I just thought that that was a little bit stupid on WWE's part, in my opinion. So, C-Med. Oh, my God. You are so right, C-Med. Could you imagine if I did a watch-along tonight? Because some wanted me to do that, and I said, no, I'm not sitting on my ass for 4 hours. It's funny, it ended up being 4 hours. But, man, I would have been bitching and complaining because there was some stuff tonight that was not very good. Now, again, my favorite match tonight, Seth Rollins versus Edge. Sorry for sounding like a broken record. I want more. I want more with those two guys. Absolutely want more. Least favorite match, I really don't want to use Bianca versus Becky because it only lasted 5 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever it was, 20 seconds, but it wasn't a match that we expected. I think we all agree that Bianca should have deserved a little bit better. You know, man, I don't want to use an outdated reference. It came to mind earlier today. Jericho. I don't know if it was, I don't remember what year it was. If it was 2000, maybe somebody could clarify the year. I don't think it was 1999, but Jericho had what year, and please, no educated guesses. Could someone Google what the date was when Jericho took on Triple H on Monday Night Raw and pinned him? And then later on, Triple H told Earl Hebner, it never happened. And they forced Jericho to give the championship back. Could someone pull up that date? Because I actually thought about that night earlier today. It was 2000, but what was the date? So that was that night. If you've never seen that match, or if you haven't seen it in a very long time, the pop that Jericho got when he beat Triple H for the WWF Championship was insane. It was insane. But somebody's going to pull up the date, and then I'll tell you my point, what this has to do with Bianca Belair. So it should only take a second or two, everybody. So somebody, if you could pull up the date, I give you a thank you. One fall says it was April, as Preston. So we're April 2000. All right, April 2000 is enough. April 2000. I'm sure somebody will still pull up the date. So anyway, when Jericho beat Triple H for the title, everybody went nuts. I popped, everybody popped. Until the fuckery later on. April 17th. Thank you, Jeff, Preston, and everyone else. April 17th, 2000. 21 years ago and change. Jericho in storyline gave the belt back later on, and it was technically erased from history. It never happened. Or as Triple H would say, it never happened. Jericho later on in interviews said that when he talked to Vince McMahon that night, Vince McMahon said, you're going to win the WWF Championship. Then we're going to take it back. Never happened. And Jericho, you know, was a little dejected from it, but they said to him, don't worry. Don't worry. You'll get it again. And look at the career he's, I mean, look, Jericho is a multi-heavyweight champion and very deserving, one of the greatest of all time. But at that time, wasn't a heavyweight champion. And they gave it crowd, and then trolled the crowd and took it away and erased it from history. Jericho ended up being just fine from it. So Bianca right now didn't get a fair shake. The EST, just think about that. I understand why a lot of people are really pissed off about this. It's not about Becky Lynch. But Bianca Belair, think about this. She's the EST. She's the greatest, the strongest, the fastest. When your whole character is the best at everything, and then you lose in 20 seconds, she was the unpreparedest? You know what I mean? Like, that's a whole character. So I get why people would be a little pissed off about this, because it's like, how are you the EST and yet somebody shows up and beats you in 25 seconds, whether you were prepared or not? So that is, I think, what a lot, but I think in the end, Bianca, what knocks her down will make her stronger. Bianca did not get buried, Mark. Bianca will be just fine. Bianca, if you pay attention, you know what? This is good. Go on Twitter. And whatever time that Becky came out, whatever time it was during the pay-per-view, go about 5 minutes before when they were doing a whole video package setting up Bianca versus Sasha. You will see in droves people saying, wow, they're really laying it heavy with Bianca. This was 5-10 minutes before she lost the title. So even at that point, a lot of people feel like WWE is really, really pushing her. I mean, even outside this, when they had that big event in Miami And I mean, it's they have a lot of value and a lot of confidence in Bianca Belair. Vibra. Welcome aboard. Much love. So, I don't want to say that was the least favorite match tonight, because I don't even call that a match. If you force me to include that match, then I'll say yes. Bianca versus Becky, worst match of the night. But if we're not going to include them, I will go with Eva Marie and Alexa Bliss. I know it was never supposed to be a great match, but I didn't need it on the pay-per-view. What was the point of that? Just so Doudrop could, like, gloat that Eva lost? Unnecessary. Was not needed. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give today's pay-per-view, Roman Reigns and Cena was excellent. Edge versus Seth Rollins was excellent. Randy Orton and Riddle was a fun moment, but it was way too short. Brock Lesnar returning was awesome. Becky Lynch returning was awesome. But still, for SummerSlam quality, I think it was a big disappointment. 6 out of 10? I'll give it a 6 out of 10. 6.5. Because a lot of the matches I could do without. If I go through them again really quick. Yeah, let me pull this up really quick. And it's only going to take a couple of seconds. Big E, Corbin, opening match too fast. The women's match I didn't like. Alexa Bliss and Eva Marie. Damian Priest and Sheamus was great, but not long enough. The Mysterios and Usos, blah, in my opinion. Obviously, Sasha and Bianca did not happen. Jinder and Drew sucked. The three-way was the... You know what? All right. You know, the matches, there's a couple of decent ones out of here. I mean, all right, I'll give it a 6.5 out of 10. I think 6.5 out of 10 is fair. It was above average because of the returns and some quality matches, but, you know, it could have been a lot better. We thought for a few months that this was going to be truly the WrestleMania this year. Something was off. And I don't think it was COVID. Something was off tonight. Don't tell me pyros. Don't tell me, you know, internet being out in the building. And so something just did not click tonight. And I'm not putting it on Sasha Banks either. So, I don't know. Anyway, before we go, couple of quick shout-outs, if you don't mind. Shout-out to Alexis Rodriguez, Psycho Jack Black. Me making fun of Magnus back in the day was funny. Magnus! What a big difference from Magnus to Nick Aldis, right? I mean, got to give props to Nick Aldis. Nick Aldis is phenomenal. I mean, definitely, truly representing the NWA Championship the right way. You know, I'm a little amazed that WWE didn't see more value in Nick Aldis when they had the chance to seriously consider signing him. So, King of Games. Yes, CM Punk and Brock Lesnar back. Thought the main event was amazing. And yes, that attitude adjustment off the middle rope was phenomenal. Dayhawk wanted Nikki Cross to keep the belt since she's got a family in Scotland, like I said earlier. I got my family in Scotland. It's not, I can't lose. She has lost. I got my family in Scotland. I need to win. Clean. Once. What do you all think about Nikki Cross and the character at this point? We're going to finish the show in a couple of moments. Write in the comment section. You know, should they continue it? Should they have her turn on the fans? Should they scrap the superhero thing altogether? I'm very curious to see how you all feel about that. Because for me, you know, a lot of people got mad at me. John Poirier, what's up, my friend? I'll answer that in a second. When I did that thumbnail on YouTube, almost the crowd reaction, I got a lot of hate from that. the character, give it a chance. Like, yeah, I am giving it a chance, but it's not getting the crowd reaction, almost the crowd reaction. I think they needed to turn heel. I don't think they should scrap it. Just think how much that could hurt Nikki Cross's career even more if they just scrap it. Almost the superhero, and then she scraps it. Mark Anderson, I agree with you. Edge, Rollins, match of the night. Give me more, give me more. Wasn't that a Britney Spears song? James Campbell, much love, my friend. Curious what we heard, crowd noise on TV. Some matches were pretty dead. Yeah, as I said before, I mean, not every match was worthy of a good crowd reaction. Just some of it just fell flat. I mean, you always hear wrestlers say that no matter where they are in the card, that they always try to put out their best and just steal the show. I don't know, man. There was quite a few matches tonight. It did not feel people trying to steal the show. It just felt like they were going through the motions. And SummerSlam, I mean, 50,000 people. I mean, they've been performing in front of 10, 15,000, but 50,000. And that doesn't get people up. You know, some of the matches tonight, I don't know. It just, something was off tonight. I don't know what it was, but something was off. Shout out to Nate. Thank you again, my friend. Much love. And John Poirier, do I think Xavier Woods should have used cheese? You know, when I saw that outfit, him wearing, you know, the water tank and the Dripstick 2000, it reminded me of Ghostbusters. It reminded me of like a Ghostbusters outfit. I love the shirt. I mean, I never saw that New Day order shirt before, but hell, WWE owns the NWO, you know, merch. Why not do a spinoff of it? But Xavier with that little, you know, the hair, that little piece of hair. I mean, I actually could do it too because my hair's starting to get long again. But, I mean, he just nailed it. And it was funny because when Xavier Woods first came out, people were like, he looks a lot like Scott Hall tonight. And then he's like, hey, yo, survey said. It looks like Miz and Morrison are now going to feud with the New Day. So again, who does Damian Priest feud with? Rick, like I said earlier, Ricochet? Maybe. Drew? I don't know if I want that. You know? Yeah, Superman. But no, I liked Xavier Woods. I don't know why. No. But I like the Dripstick 2000. I think it's starting to run its course. I mean, WWE, if there was a way to merchandise it a little bit better, they probably could have made some good coin on that. But hey, America's Most Wanted. You know, every time I hear that, I think of my old, you know, my old boss who was Jewish, because he'd always talk like, America's Most Wanted. Give me a filter fish. Give me a matzo ball soup, because I work for a Jewish deli. America's Most Wanted. So anyway, let me know what you thought of SummerSlam. Post it in the comment section. If you're not a subscriber yet, please subscribe. If you're not a channel member, by all means, sign up. Now, don't forget, tomorrow night, yes, I am prepared for it. Tomorrow night, yes, I will be doing a recap and review of NXT TakeOver 36. I want to shout out a good friend of the family, Joey, who hooked me up a little bit with that thumbnail. Trying to get a little bit better artwork. Not easy. Everybody that wanted to help out, now it's gimme. So, now look, tomorrow's NXT TakeOver is only 5 matches. You have Trey Baxter versus Ridge Holland, which is a dark match, but officially there's 5 matches. And it doesn't seem like they're going to be actually adding any matches. So tomorrow, the recap is going to be fast. But it's going to be an awesome card. Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly, as much as some may be a little bit tired of the feud, I mean, they've knocked it out of the park every single time. So, KD, yes, I will be getting some rest. What time is it? Holy shit, it's 2:30 in the morning. But you know what? This is why I don't mind a WWE pay-per-view on a Saturday. I don't have to work tomorrow. I don't have to drive the future missus home tomorrow. I could wake up at noon if I want to. No predictions contest. Just wake up, shit, shower, shave, eat, act lazy for a day, and then tomorrow night we watch NXT TakeOver and we do a review. So I thank you all for tuning in tonight. Thank you for spending your evening with me. I mean, let's be honest, long night. We had an hour pre-show, a pay-per-view that lasted 4 hours and 10 minutes, and I'm up here 2 hours and 15 minutes. That is 8 hours. 8 hours of, you know, just nonstop wrestling tonight. So I appreciate it more than you'll ever know. I thank you for that. So, you know, I want to give a shout out to our commanders of the Donzilla Army, the elite, and our channel subscribers. If your name is shown, thank you, as always. Now, the predictions contest for our channel members, I will announce it probably tomorrow. Not everybody participated, you know, which is cool. Makes my work a little bit easier. But look, TakeOver tomorrow starts at 8 o'clock. It should be over by 10:30. Before 11, for sure. So we will have an early night tomorrow. And then if you're not around tomorrow, because look, not everybody's a fan of NXT. So if you do not tune into NXT tomorrow, I'll be back here on Monday with Mish. Remember, Mish went to Rampage yesterday. No joke. He paid $2 for his tickets. So, you know, how do you pass that up? You know, it gets to be part of history for $2. Can't go wrong. Like I said yesterday, I bought a ticket. I bought a ticket online for $2 just as a little keepsake. So if we look back at this, you know, 10 years from now, oh, remember the night CM Punk debuted in AEW? Yeah, I have a ticket. So there was only 15,000, I think, in 60 that were available. So anyway, everyone be well. Much love as always. And I will catch you all tomorrow after NXT TakeOver or Monday after Raw. Give it a thumbs up on the way out. Actually, wow, a lot of you have. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Have a great night. A lot of fun tonight. Take care.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. Doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.